Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the QuickBook Reviews podcast. Brighten your day with a book.
Hello, my fellow bookworms. This is Philippa from QuickBook Reviews, author interviews and book reviews. Well, today is a Friday episode, so this is a shorter episode with short interviews. If you want to hear more about the authors covered today, then if you look back about 6-8 weeks before this episode, you will find much longer interviews with both authors. But today we are covering The Trap by Catherine Ryan Howard and The Wheel is Spinning, But the Hamster is Dead by Adam Sharp. One is fiction, one is non-fiction. Can you guess which it is? It's hard. The clue is The Trap is the fiction book. Anyway, let's get started. Here is the blurb. Stranded on a dark road in the middle of the night, a young woman accepts a lift from a passing stranger. It's the nightmare scenario that every girl is warned about, and she knows the dangers all too well. But what other choice does she have? As they drive, she alternates between fear and relief, one moment thinking he's just a good man doing a good thing, the next convinced he's a monster. But when he delivers her safely to her destination, she realises her fears were unfounded and her heart sinks because a monster is what she's looking for. And let's talk to Catherine now. Well, it is my huge pleasure to welcome back to the podcast Catherine Ryan Howard, whose latest fabulous book is called The Trap. Catherine, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Well, you have 5 questions in 5 minutes. Are you ready for this?
I'm sweating. Catherine? I'm actually sweating.
There is no need to sweat, please. Yes.
It's very warm in Ireland today, so.
Okay, your first question. Can you summarise this brilliant book for us?
I will try. So Lucy's sister, Nikki, has disappeared about a year before the novel begins, and she just can't sit and wait for the Gardaí, the Irish police, to find her anymore. So she's taking matters into her own hands, and she is out on country roads at night playing bait to try and get taken by the man who took her sister.
Thank you very much. Who would this book appeal to? Who should be reading this now?
I would say the easy answer is everyone, obviously.
Of course.
18 to 99. But I think readers who love crime fiction and love a thriller, but also love something that's a little bit different and asks them to meet the novel on the page. So I feel like this novel has a bit of audience participation. Not everything is laid out for you. There isn't a kind of big recap of how things have unfolded. You need to make some decisions of your own, even though I would maintain all answers are on the page. And I think it's a great novel to read with someone else. So if you and a friend have both read this, then you can get together and discuss, what do you think happened? What do you think that meant? And I think that's the kind of novel that it is, hopefully.
That's a really good point, because not all books, I would say, are good book club books, but this one is.
Because there will be a lot of, I would say, animated discussion about the ending.
Yes, so definitely a good book club book. The next question is, well, it ties in a little bit to the previous one. What do you want us to feel as we're reading it?
as you're reading it, I would hope that you feel you can't put it down, that, you know, you have to get to the end. You have to find out what happened, because that's what I love. I'm a fan of crime and thrillers, first and foremost, and I'm writing the book that I would like to read. So while you're reading it, all I want is for you to keep turning the pages. And then at the end, I joked to one of my friends once that I love a senseless tragedy, that I think at the end, I sort of want you to put down the book and be like, what did I just read? And I have to take a few minutes to put things together. Yeah. And my favorite thing is when readers message me to say, you know, I was supposed to be in bed at 11 and I stayed up till 3 a.m. All I want to do is have people exhausted for their work the next morning. That's my main goal in life.
That's what you thrive on.
Yeah. As long as they're bad times.
Your next question, who is your favourite major and your favourite minor character in the book?
Oh, so major has to be the potential abductor or killer. I really, really enjoyed writing him. I don't know what that says about me. But I just love the challenge of coming up with an explanation in someone's mind, a justification for doing something so bad. So, you know, and I think there's a very sort of black humor to his chapters as well. And I just really enjoy that. And I think my favorite minor character is there's a scene where all the families get together and the mother of one of the missing women is a bit of a nightmare. And I just really loved writing that. I really love writing her. She's very annoying and that's fun to write.
Great answers. Well, we come to the last question. Now, when we were talking before in your full interview, we were asking the obvious biscuit question and you came up with the incredible concept that if you drink enough coffee, it suppresses your hunger. So I'm very interested in that. So my question is, when you have finished writing the book, when you finished The Trap, what food did you go to as your reward?
Oh God, unfortunately for me, every food is a reward. But I think like when I finish a book, because I have usually been like doing 10-hour days and staying up way too late because I'm a terrible procrastinator, I'll have a day where I clean my entire apartment, which is my favorite thing to do after I finish a book, because it will be a complete pigsty. I'll just have abandoned everything while I'm writing. And then there'll probably be something that I wanted to watch that I've been saving until the book is finished. So I'll sit down, I'll have some lovely, very cold white wine, and usually then some sort of like decadent mac and cheese type, you know, like a nice mac and cheese, you know, with truffle or something like that, that would be. And then I'll be in a complete coma after eating it.
Wonderful. Well, it's just lovely to hear more about The Trap and to speak to you again. Catherine Ryan Howard, thank you so much.
Thank you. And I've really enjoyed how many of these questions were food-based.
You can rely on me for that. Absolutely brilliant. So let's go on to The Wheel is Spinning, But the Hamster is Dead, A Journey Around the World by Adam Sharp. Here we go. Join Adam Sharp as he journeys around the world in idioms, proverbs and general nonsense. Learn unusual insults from France. You are a potato with the face of a guinea pig. How to hurry someone up in the US. You're going as slow as molasses in January. And what they call a shark in Vietnam. Fat fish. Full of fascinating, ridiculous and hilarious translations from around the world, Adam has rounded up the very best of what every corner of the globe has to offer. Let's get this show on the road. Or, let's saddle the chickens. German. On with the butter. Icelandic. Forward with the goat. Dutch. Fantastic. Let's talk to Adam now. Well, it is my huge pleasure to welcome back to the podcast Adam Sharp, whose latest fabulous book is called The Wheel is Spinning, But the Hamster is Dead. Adam, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again, Philippa. Great to be back.
It's great to talk to you again. Can you just start by giving us a summary of this book?
Yes, of course. So it's a collection of idioms and proverbs and general nonsense from around the world. So essentially, any well-known expression that you've ever thought of, I present it in list form in how you say, various languages around the world.
Fantastic. Can you give us an example? Can you give us one of your lists?
Of course, yes. So I have a strong dislike, not quite a hatred, of the phrase "it is what it is," partly because I don't much care for any forward-ending cliches, those expressions that wrap everything up in a neat bow to avoid messiness. But with "it is what it is," it's also just such an uninspiring collection of words. So this is a list of five much more colourful ways of saying "it is what it is" from around the world. Number five, "that's the way the cookie crumbles," from US English, obviously. Number four, "that's how my beans fell," Bosnian. Number three, "it doesn't help crying in the market," Finnish. Number two, "that's life when the skirt is striped," Swedish. And number one, from Dutch, "who knows why the geese go barefoot?" That's I should add several of those are very old. The Dutch phrase, for example, is from the 16th century, at least, and it appeared in a painting called Neverlandish Proverbs by Peter Bruegel the Elder in 1559. But I love any phrases that are very old or very regional or just rare in any way.
Well, who would this book appeal to? Who should be buying this book and reading it?
Everyone, obviously. But I think anyone that has an interest in languages, first of all, or idioms more widely. I don't know if I'd be able to narrow it down to an age, because I post these lists originally on Twitter, which is sort of mostly, I guess, people my age, 30s, 40s, 50s. But with the last book, lots of people got it for their parents. And then also their sort of kids sort of read it a lot, sort of 12, 13. And it seemed to work equally well with both. So, yeah, so I really won't rule anyone out. Everyone should get it.
Yes, absolutely. Great present as well, if you're not buying it for yourself, to buy for someone else. Let's talk about lists. How important are lists to you?
Very important to me. I mean, I had a, without going into too much detail, I had a very chaotic childhood. I was passed back and forth between parents and then put into care and then eventually ended up being raised by my grandfather. And this sort of chaoticness sort of went on and on throughout my childhood. So I think for me, it was almost a life-saving thing, really. Just this, I guess, this way to impose order when I didn't have any control of anything else. So, yeah, so throughout my life, it's been a very important tool for survival, I guess, for me. And then these last few years, since doing the lists of expressions around the world, it's just been an even more joyous thing again, because it's been this sort of great way to sort of reach out to other translators and native speakers of other languages and just anyone that loves languages, really.
Well, I'm sorry that's how it came about, but if it gives you comfort and your book gives us comfort, then that's some benefit.
Yeah.
What is your favourite part of the book? Have you got another list you could read to us?
Yes, I have. Probably one of my favourite lists, actually. It's a slightly longer one, if that's okay, which is a top eight of phrases to describe daydreaming from different languages. So number eight is "away with the fairies," which is originally Irish. Number seven, "gone to the cheeses," from Chilean Spanish. Number six, "thinking of blue almonds," Polish. Number five, "dreaming of green horses on walls," Romanian. Number four, "traveling in the mayonnaise," Brazilian Portuguese. Number three, "swimming in watermelon juice," Egyptian Arabic. Just as a footnote to that one, another Egyptian Arabic phrase for daydreaming or regular dreaming is "eating rice pudding with angels." Number two, from Mexican Spanish, "pondering the crab's immortality." And just as another footnote, another one from Mexico translates to "pondering the whole of the donut." And number one, from Greek, "in his head, three are singing and two are dancing." Which is a really versatile phrase that's used in several different ways in Greek slang, depending who you speak to. But my favourite use of it by far is to describe a daydreamer, such a visual phrase, I think.
Well, we come to the final question. When we spoke last time, we were talking about biscuit preferences. So this question is, when you were writing The Wheel is Spinning but the Hamster is Dead, what drink was powering the words?
Oh, what drink was powering the words? Okay, so I'm afraid this is going to be a very disappointing answer because I'm incredibly boring when it comes to drinks. I exist entirely on tap water. I don't even though much as I love biscuits, I don't even drink tea or coffee. No hot drinks whatsoever. So yeah, it was tap water or Corporation Pop, as we used to call it in Manchester. And yeah, lots of biscuits and lots of chocolate.
Tap water, wow, that's a first. I've never had that before, Adam, so there we go.
Dull, I know.
No, if it produces a book like this, we all need to be immediately switching our drinks choices to tap water.
Yeah, can't go wrong with it as well.
It's just wonderful to talk to you about The Wheel is Spinning, but the Hamster is Dead. And I should just give an honourable mention to one of your other superb books, which is called The Correct Order of Biscuits. And I'll just leave it there for people to go and read about your preferred order of biscuits. And we did discuss it last time, but just some excellent books. Adam Sharp, thank you so much.
Thank you, Philippa.
Absolutely splendid. So those are our books. We have had The Trap by Catherine Ryan Howard and The Wheel is Spinning But the Hamster is Dead by Adam Sharp. I do hope you're well. I do hope all is okay with you. I'll be back on Monday with more waffle, longer episodes, longer interviews. So I'll see you then. But in the meantime, just look after yourselves. Take care. And I'll see you very soon. Take care now. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the QuickBook Reviews podcast. That's enough books, said no one, ever. See you again soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.